Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, here we go. It is time for Fast Track. And let's see, one side of the coin is, I'm at a loss, John. Help me out.
You can't come
I'm at a
up
loss
with a fake
I got one
coin
thing
flip
to come up with all day long. One side of the coin is you win today's game. Other side of the coin, it's Lindsay. Call it in the air.
Lindsay's having a weird week. I'll go tails.
Tails, Lindsay wins.
Tails, Lindsay, good for you. Now you just got to follow through. Ireland, it's to you.
Fast Track.
Okay, guys, soccer's Premier League is considering coming back without fans at neutral stadiums. And Sky Sports, the network that broadcasts the games, is considering doing something weird with the telecasts. They want to use computer-generated images, CGI, to put fans in the stands like they do in movies.
Okay.
So if you're watching the games at home, you'll see fans and you'll hear crowd noise that they're going to make up that doesn't actually exist inside the stadiums. Is this a good idea or a bad idea?
You know what? Again, this is one of those all bets are off, let's try anything mode. If you can CGI. A lot of times when you're watching a movie and you see a gigantic crowd at a speech or something or at a convention and the faces go on and on and on, it's all CGI. There's no reason why they can't. And anything they can do to recreate the actual baseball experience, even if it means enhancing it with CGI, I'm in favor of it.
100% agree. I always argue with people that don't understand that at its core, if you break down everything about sports, all the sports we love, it's an entertainment product.
Yep.
All right? It's an event put on to generate TV ratings and money. If more people will watch it, you know, and it makes it appear more like a regular game. I mean, how many G League games have we watched where there's nobody in the stands and the sneakers are squeaking and there's just no buzz
right
around it, no excitement? If some smart television executive can CGI a packed stadium and put crowd noise in and I can't tell the difference, of course I'm tuning in to see
yes
that. It's an entertainment. I just feel like I have to beat people on top of
it. I mean,
the
they
head
call Major League Baseball making it to the show. It is show business. It
100%.
Is show business.
And by the way, this is a little tangential, but that's why people like Kawhi Leonard saying he's going to take 25 games off. Kawhi, it's an entertainment product. People are coming to see you play. Give us 10 minutes. You know, give us something. It's an entertainment product. If this makes it more entertaining.
Yep.
I'm not going to poo-poo anything.
By the way, and I'm the same on crowd noise. I mean, if they can create a CGI crowd and then control the crowd noise so that it matches, and believe me, they can do this, so that it matches what's going on in the game, make it look like a baseball game. Make it sound like a baseball game.
They've done it for every movie that you and I have ever watched. You think when we watch Kevin Costner in For the Love of the Game that
yep
they pack Yankee Stadium with 80,000 or, you know, whatever it is, 60,000 people? No, they've got 500 people, and they're filling the rest in with CGI.
Yep.
I'm all for it, 100%. Agree to agree.
Funch.
Fast Track.
Netflix picked up nearly 16 million global subscribers during the first 3 months of the year, helping cement its status as one of the world's most essential services in times of isolation or crisis. The quarter spanned the beginning of stay-at-home orders in the U.S. and around the world, a response to the coronavirus pandemic that apparently led millions to latch onto Netflix for entertainment and comfort when most had nowhere to be but home. Netflix more than doubled the quarterly growth it predicted. Now, here's a question. First of all, are you surprised at how many people watch Netflix? And then, I'll ask two questions. Are you surprised how many people watch Netflix, and how did Netflix become so dominant?
Okay, number one, no. I think Netflix is great, and I think they produce so much quality entertainment that I'm surprised everybody doesn't have it. And the second question was what?
How they become so dominant?
Well, they were smart. they jumped on the internet. They realized that everything in the future was going to be internet-based. And then I just bought another TV from Isaac at Mirror Audio Video.
Oh, my God. Your house is just like a TV studio.
It's basically a store with TVs in it. But everything about these TVs now, I was asking Roy, his son who runs that place. I said, Roy, is it a smart TV? And he said, John, all TVs now are smart TVs.
Yep.
If you're buying a new TV, you're going to have options to watch your favorite apps and games and all that stuff. And let me tell you what to get ready for, Mace.
Yep.
Netflix is going to get in the live sports game.
Yeah.
Sooner or later. And so is Amazon. I was telling you beforehand, shout out to my friend Jared Stacey, whose birthday is today. Happy birthday, Jared. He is working for Amazon Sports. Google's going to get into the game with sports. Netflix is going to get into the game with sports. There is a rumor that Apple is going to buy the Pac-12 media rights.
Really?
In other words, so Apple would be responsible for televising all Pac-12 events if they do this, because they're up in the Walnut
Creek area.
The
network isn't working. Yeah.
Right. And so get used to this. Netflix is just the beginning. They have jumped on a wave and started it that people are going to, like, Lindsay, you're a cord cutter, right? You don't pay for TV, do you?
Nope, I do not. I have like Sling, and I'll use that during.
But that's internet based. Sling
right,
is internet based.
Yep, it is.
Greg Bergman, who's one of the people that hired Lindsay, who used to produce our show, Bergman's been a cord cutter for 4 years.
Yep.
He hasn't paid for television in 4 years. Everything he brings into his home, he brings it onto a computer, and he'll either. What do you call that, Mace, where you project it onto your TV screen?
Mirror it.
He mirrors it onto his TV, or he just uses a smart TV and watches stuff.
And he uses VPNs, and he steals stuff all the time.
But they're good at it.
Do you remember how Netflix started?
I used to get the DVDs in my mailbox.
Correct. You used to get the DVDs in the mail, and they somehow saw the future. It's one of the most visionary moves in history. They went, because Blockbuster was doing exactly the same thing. You would get the DVDs in the mail, and you would mail them back. And they had the vision to go into streaming from that point. I mean, whoever made that decision, whether it's Ted Sarandos, I don't know who it is over there.
I think it's Reed Hastings who was doing that at the time.
That was an absolute genius decision.
I remember when they first started doing that, because I subscribed to the DVDs. And then I remember when my boyfriend at the time was like, oh, yeah, they do this thing now where you can like get it. And he's one of those like computer whizzes where he can do all that fancy schmancy VPN and free stuff. And he was like, yeah, they only have a couple movies on here. And at first it was like a lot of like, you know, like G, like what is it, like C, D, E, F, G movies, you know?
They were nowhere near
like top of the line for the first couple of years.
You guys,
a lot of really bad horror films.
Yeah, do you guys remember the first movie you ever streamed?
First movie I ever streamed?
I do. Mine was like a really bad horror movie on
Mine
Netflix.
Was a good movie that still holds up today. Do you guys ever see the movie In and Out with Kevin Klein when he's getting married to Joan Cusack?
Is that called In and Out?
Yeah, it's called Tom, because he was getting married and he was gay and he just wouldn't admit it. And he had to call off his wedding at the altar. And Tom Selleck's in it and Wilford Brimley's in it. Great part for Matt Dillon.
I do remember that movie.
Yeah, really good movie.
I don't remember what. Now, here's the second part of the question I want to ask you guys. And this goes for Funch and Lindsay, too. So we've got Netflix. We've got Amazon Prime. We've got Hulu. We've got Disney Plus. We've got CBS All Access. We've got Apple TV, which is another streaming service. And soon we've got NBC, the Peacock. Rank your top three. And then is there such a thing as too many streaming services?
I don't think so. I think that as you're seeing with Disney Plus, you know, that is coming late and the Peacock's coming next. If you limited me to three.
Yep.
I would go Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime.
Why Hulu? Because I don't have Hulu.
Okay, Hulu has a bunch of original material,
yep.
And they have all the network stuff, and it's not just one network. They have NBC, CBS, ABC. Ron Howard, about a month ago, I watched Ron Howard's Beatles movie on Hulu.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they have a lot of good original content. Yeah, matter of fact, I think they have a free trial period if you want to try it.
Yeah, I might do that.
You wouldn't have to pay for it.
And then jump out and then try another free trial period.
I have CBS All Access, but I only have it to watch The Good Fight. As soon as they run out of episodes of The Good Fight, I
Lindsay, how about you? The three you can't live without.
Number one is definitely Prime Video.
Really?
And then number two, blows away Netflix, in my opinion.
It's great. It's really good.
Number two, yeah, it is. They've got so much original stuff on there, too. And plus, I also get, my HBO subscription through Prime.
Oh, okay.
Watch a lot of
HBO
stuff.
Lindsay, have you watched Goliath on Prime?
Nope.
Oh,
Goliath with Billy Bob Thornton. Really good. Check it out.
Great show on Prime.
I'll have to put that on my list.
So, Prime.
My second one's probably going to be Netflix. Actually, no. Netflix is probably my third because I don't watch it that much. My second one is Hulu because I watch Dateline on there.
You watch Dateline on there?
Oh, yeah. Love Dateline. It's a great show.
You love the crime stuff?
Yes, I'm a
Yeah, you
true
love
crime
true
junkie.
Crime. That's right.
I watch Dateline just to see how Keith Morrison uses his
voice. Keith Morrison is a saint.
It is fantastic. It's like
but little
Steve Mason
he,
thought...
Little did he know that next
year. Sometimes.
Steve Mason thought he was going to the beach. Didn't expect this tidal wave.
He would find himself
buried. That's a good one. I love it. You know, they do a podcast now with a lot of their shows. They turn them into podcasts, and he's fantastic. That's kind of how I started loving Keith Morrison was a podcast. His voice is great.
Oh, his voice is fantastic. Funch, what about you? Top three.
Hulu, HBO Go, and it's a toss-up for me from... Amazon Prime and Netflix. I don't know which one I watch more.
Why is Hulu number one?
Just the reasons why you were just talking about it. They have all the network shows, and I can just get lost in Hulu.
I went down a 30 Rock rabbit hole one night on Hulu.
All that is going to wind up now on that Peacock network.
Yeah, which I'm hearing in the beginning, at least, is going to be free. I mean, eventually they're going to charge something for it, but I think they're going to release it free and let everybody check it out.
And for me, it's Netflix, Prime, which I think both are great, and then Disney Plus. I've gone back and watched so many old movies. I've watched all the animated stuff. I've watched all the Star Wars stuff. Rise of the Skywalker. That one just went on, so I'm getting ready to watch that one. So Disney Plus would be my third one, and Hulu I don't have. Maybe I should have it.
Yeah, check it out. I think you can get a free trial.
On Apple TV, the only reason to watch it was The Morning Show.
It's good. I have Apple TV. I love The Morning Show. That was really, really good.
All right, more Fast Track coming up for you next. Funch has a question. Lindsay's got a question. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, we are rolling on with Fast Track, and Funch, it's to you.
Fast Track.
All right, guys. Last Friday, actually, was the 22nd anniversary of one of my favorite basketball movies, Spike Lee's He Got Game.
Oh, yeah.
Starring Ray Allen as Jesus Shuttlesworth.
I watched the whole thing. The day of that anniversary, Funch, they were running it on a loop, and I watched it start to finish.
Oh, nice. And, you know, Denzel Washington was his ex-con dad.
Yep.
Funny fact about, I just learned this, Kobe Bryant was supposed to play Jesus Shuttlesworth.
Really?
Spike Lee asked Kobe to play Jesus Shuttlesworth. But because of the 97 playoffs where he airballed all those shots, he wanted to stay and work on his game.
Wow. Now, John, the reason why that's number one is for a couple of reasons. One, it's just a great movie.
Is that your number one basketball movie?
It is my number one basketball movie.
What is your three favorite basketball movie?
Oh, okay, got it. So He Got Game is definitely on my list. John, do you remember when I broke my foot?
Ray Allen shattered my foot.
Ray Allen was the guest, and both you and he said,
"Just a sprain."
That's just a sprain, and I was in emergency surgery.
You shattered your foot in 10 pieces.
Yeah,
we both diagnosed it. It's just a sprain. You'll be fine tomorrow. Just elevate it and ice it was my advice to you.
Later, I saw Ray Allen at the Olympics a few years later, and Ray just looked at me and said, "You're that guy. You're that guy." It's a great movie, but I also have a sentimental spot for it because of that whole incident. I am a sucker for Hoosiers. Some people think it's too schmaltzy. Some people think it's for me, the basketball equivalent of Field of Dreams. I love that movie. And third is a controversial pick, I'm sure, but it's the documentary Hoop Dreams, which I think is one of the great documentaries ever made. Follows two kids trying to make it to the NBA and captures both sort of a kid that goes to prep school and a kid that that is more of an inner city kid and the roads that they take to try to get to professional basketball. That is my third.
Roger Ebert wrote the year that came out, whatever year it was, picked that for the best movie of the year. Like, of all movies, he thought that that Hoop Dreams was that good. I had Hoop Dreams on my honorable mention list, along with Blue Chips, because Shaq's in it, and Gary Vitti's in it, and stars Nick Nolte is like a Bobby Knight type guy, and he cheats and gets caught. And yep. I like Blue Chips a lot, but neither one. He got Game and Blue Chips did not. Blue Chips and Hoop Dreams didn't make my list. He got Game at number three, Hoosiers at number two, and I am shocked you left this off. My number one is White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah,
Ron Shelton,
it's a
nailed
tough call.
It. And so that's number one for me. Lindsay, what are your three?
My number three is actually White Men Can't Jump. Number two, you guys might make fun of me because it's kind of cheesy, but it's a great film. Love and Basketball.
No, Love and Basketball is not awful.
Yeah, I like
it. It's actually pretty decent.
And it's one of those, it's a rewatchable for sure. And then number one is Space Jam, of course.
Oh, yeah, Space Jam, we both left off. It's a good one.
I like Space Jam. Funch, what are your three?
I got an honorable mention. Sunset Park. It had Rio Perlman from Cheers as a high school coach in the inner city.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I'm going to start at three for me. White Man Can't Jump. Number two, Above the Rim. I don't know if you guys ever heard of this. This had Tupac in it. It was a great movie.
Yeah, I'm sure that's on Trudell's list.
And also number one for me, He Got Game.
No, he was number three.
Oh, number three, White Man Can't Jump. Oh. Yeah,
okay.
So He Got Game was kind of a consensus. I had it number one. Funch had it number one. John, you had it number three.
Right.
The only beef I have with He Got Game is I think it was too long.
Right. By the way, none of us mentioned Michael Thompson's great basketball movie.
The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, a very entertaining film to this day.
The only reason I won't totally denounce it is it has my idol Chick Hearn in it, but that movie sucked.
I can't imagine that held up well. Lindsay.
Fast Track.
All right, guys. So I just sent you a link to this story about an interesting way that we could possibly get back to concerts and athletic events and stuff like that sooner than we thought. So obviously,
this is an excellent suit. Explain what you sent us.
So Production Club, which is a Los Angeles-based multidisciplinary creative studio, they're known for working with EDM stars like Skrillex, for example. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. Okay,
sure.
So they want to kind of changed the way this whole post-pandemic social distancing thing works. And their idea is they have invented a prototype of what is basically they're calling an offshoot of a hazmat suit, a personal protective suit that, quote, allows you to safely socialize in times of pandemic. So it's made of high-performance, cut-resistant fabric and lightweight film composite. And the suit contains two lithium-ion batteries for charging a phone. And then you also have a supply system that has disposable canisters that allows users to vape or drink. So the company states that the design is a socially responsible solution that uses an air filtration and breathing system based on worldwide standards using N95 filters. So this thing also can be like upgraded with like a built-in camera and speaker and external voice system, and you can even make it light up with LED lights, and you can, you know, use those lights to communicate your mood apparently. They posted this on their Instagram feed, and if anyone wants to check it out, it's at Production Club. It just looks like a brightly colored, like, moon suit, I guess. And it's just, like, one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. And I wanted to ask you guys, if this meant that, like, you could go to sporting, we could have sporting events starting, like, tomorrow or next week, would you guys wear this ridiculous suit?
Hell yeah. Do I get live sports? I get to go back to Staples Center and watch the Lakers play the Clippers? I get to go to concerts? Give me the dumb suit. I'd wear it in a heartbeat.
I'm surprised that you said that, actually.
Well, the problem is we wouldn't all be able to afford one of these, right?
What do you think they're going to run?
That's a great question.
I just tweeted out a link to the story.
You got to get the cost under $50 or people won't do it.
You're basically dressed like Captain EO.
Yep. That's a great comparison.
Would you wear a Captain EO suit?
If your choice, Mace, is to wear it and go out or not wear it and stay like this, do you even have to hesitate to say you would wear it?
I don't even think I'm afraid enough to wear this thing. I think I think life is going to get back to normal before this thing even ships to my house. This is some weird prototype. Nobody's actually going to wear this thing ever,
Maze.
Are they?
Okay, Maze. Here I'm going to give you a dilemma. The Rams announce that they're opening.
I'm buying it. I'm wearing it. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, because as of right now, it doesn't look like, even if we get live sports back, that like fans are not going to be anywhere in the equation, at least anytime soon. So let's say if they somehow this gets made and you could buy it for, let's say, I don't know, $100 Would you wear it if it meant that you could go, you could be one of the people where they say,
Rams, okay, Cowboys, well, opening,
yeah,
night.
Rams, Cowboys, September 14th. Give me the Captain EO suit.
Yeah, it's closed, man. Unless you wear this suit. Would you wear it? Then
I would wear it if it meant I get to go to that game. Absolutely.
Funch, you putting on the suit?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I don't, Lindsay, I think you're underestimating how much people would jump at the chance to go out.
It's funny looking.
It is goofy looking, but it's a new world. You got to be, you know, you got to be ready.
And if, but it is, it does look like something they wear, the EDM folks would wear at the, what's the concert in Vegas?
Coachella?
The big one?
EDC.
EDC in Vegas. It does look like the kind of thing you would see at EDC in Vegas.
Too many clothes for Coachella, for sure.
I'll tell you what, though. If the doctors signed off on this, they said, yep, you wear this, you can be together, I would buy stock in that company tomorrow.
Yeah.
But you know what it also reminds me of? In Back to the Future, when they go into the future and everyone's just wearing those weird outfits and, you know, flying around on those, like, flying hoverboards, that's what this reminds me of. Something.
By the way, a lot
movie.
Of people tweeting right now, I just tweeted it out, I'd wear it just for the look.
Why not?
It is kind of cool looking. It is kind of cool looking. All right, more Fast Tracks coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track in Ireland. It's to you.
Fast Track.
Okay, this is for everybody. For the sake of this question, let's say you're single.
Okay.
And let's say right before the quarantine hit, like the day before.
Yep.
You met somebody that you would like to date.
Mm.
How do you go about dating in the coronavirus era? Are you limited to FaceTime and Zoom contact only? Can you meet up in person? If you do you practice social distancing? If you cross that line, can you make out? Can you have sex? What do you think the guidelines are for dating during the coronavirus? Mace.
Well, I think, you know, today I went and got a coronavirus test. The city of Los Angeles has got lots of them now, and they're encouraging people who are asymptomatic to go get it. I would say proposed partner, I would say, hey, go get a coronavirus test. I'll do the same. See ya in my bedroom in 2 days.
Lindsay, what do you think? What would the rules be if the day before the quarantine hit, you meet somebody that you want to date? What are the rules about that?
See, I don't know. It's kind of tricky but I would probably do what Mace said, or I would do like the whole, you know, 2 week quarantine thing. And then once you pass the 2 weeks and then you haven't gotten sick, then I think
But you can still get this if you're asymptomatic.
But if you're not going anywhere for 2 weeks, then.
Yeah. Right. If you have 14 days locked up, supposedly you're in the clear.
Yeah,
Funch, if you would have met your current fiance the day before quarantine hit, how would you have dated her during quarantine?
It would depend on how her life is. What does she do for work? Is she out the house like I am out, you know, for work? What does she do on a daily? If she's just at home quarantining, I think that's fine. But if she's out, you know, working still, I think that's not fine.
Yeah, it's a very weird question because,
it really has put a crimp on dating.
It has, okay, and I'm not saying this to be flippant or funny. Has it killed Tinder?
No, there's plenty of people that, like, I mean, I see people all over on my social media feeds, especially this one, like, women Facebook group that I'm in. Like, it seems to me like people are still meeting guys, and if anything, actually, I saw a lot of girls in this one thread that said that guys are being, like, way more aggressive about, like, getting together than they normally would. Like, guys want to, like, they want, instead of wanting your number right away, they want to FaceTime you right away. And, like, after they FaceTime you once, they want to meet up with you in person, which you'd think it would be the opposite.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think it'd be the opposite.
Yeah. I think there are people that are ignoring this completely in this particular area. I'm guessing Tinder is, it's a boom time. I'm thinking Grindr, it's a boom time. It's killed the more legitimate stuff, like Bumble probably isn't working right
or
now.
Or like Match.com, do you think?
Match.com is not like a hookup site. I think, hasn't Tinder become more of a hookup site?
Yeah, I know three people that met their spouse on Match.com. Is that site, like, effective at a time like this? Probably not, right? You got to put everything on hold?
My mom met not stepdad Leo on Match.com.
Yeah, one of my sisters
met her husband on Tinder. They did not meet on Tinder. They met on Match.com.
I mean, I know people who are engaged to be married that met on Tinder. So I think it all depends on, like, you know, I think nowadays, for the most part, people are pretty clear about what they are looking for and what they want out of it. It's kind of like most people are pretty honest about it in their profile. And then the people that aren't, then they're probably just jerks. But I think that for me, if I were trying to date somebody and I were active on a dating site, I would think that now would be the time to, like, do the online dating thing, because it takes some pressure off of you having to meet them in person, and it kind of gives you an excuse to spend more time getting to know each other, like, before you actually meet in person, you know?
So you, Mace, when you were describing that, it reminded me of a good story. I used to get cryotherapy at a place right around the corner from where I live.
Right, right.
It shut down, so I can't get it anymore. But
for good or just for this?
No, it shut down before the virus. The owner sold it. But I became friends with the owner, and she was really nice. The owner's name was Paige, and one of the girls working for her, a girl named Grace. One day I walked in, she goes, "Hey, John, this is my, you know, boyfriend Eric." I go, "Hey, Eric, nice to meet you. How'd you guys meet?" And Grace goes, "Church." And her boss walks away. And Grace rolls her eyes and goes, "Please, Tinder." So I think some people will have to come up with new made-up stories.
The weird story about it is, the weird truth of it is, you can meet the one anywhere. It's just as likely to be Tinder as it is to be on Match as it is to be on a bar at 3 o'clock, in a bar at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Buddy of mine from UCLA was like the best looking guy in the school, like fighting girls off the whole time, using like the UCLA men's calendar.
Yep.
So I lost contact with him, and 5-6 years later, I run into him. I said, "Hey, Kevin, what's up with you? What, are you married?" He goes, "Yeah." I go, "How'd you meet your wife?" He goes, "Believe it or not, traffic school."
There you go.
We were in traffic school together.
Can be anywhere. Can be anywhere. All right, Funch.
Fast track.
Here we go, people. Once a week we do this. It is all over the place trivia. All over the place trivia. That means it is John versus Lindsay versus Funch. These questions can be about absolutely everything, but chances are you all know the answers, and it's whoever gets there first. So, Ireland, you can play. Lindsay, you can play. And Funch, you can play. All right. Your name is your buzzer. Question number one. In the 1970s, the Cincinnati Reds had this nickname.
John.
John.
Big Red Machine.
Big Red Machine is correct. Yes. I thought that might be one of the
things. I didn't
Lindsay
know that, but I didn't buzz on it quick enough because John's a cheater.
Number two. According to the expression, a bird in the hand is worth what?
Lindsay. John.
Lindsay's first.
Two in the bush.
Two in the bush is absolutely correct. Lindsay's on the board. Number three, the 1982 musical film created by Pink Floyd is what?
Lindsay.
Lindsay.
The Wall.
The Wall is correct. Lindsay takes a 2-1 lead over Ireland. Funch is all quiet. Number four, what is Jesus' final dinner known as?
John. Lindsay.
John, I think, got there first.
No, he didn't.
The Last Supper.
The Last Supper is correct. John 2, Lindsay 2, Funch nowhere to be found. Number five. How many number one hits did the Beatles have?
John.
John.
20.
Holy hell. How did you know that?
I've got it coming up in another question later.
Wow.
What are the odds?
I thought that was going to be a total guess.
Yeah.
All right. Number six. Say hello to my little friend.
Lindsay.
Lindsay.
From Scarface.
It's from Scarface. Yes, it is.
Wow. This other than Funch is apparently going mute on us, this is a very tight battle.
It is. It's very.
I'm going to guess he's working on other things. That's my.
He very well could.
No, I'm choking right now.
Okay. Yeah, at least you own it.
From a scientific perspective, who has a higher pain tolerance, men or women?
John.
John.
Women.
Women is absolutely correct. Yes, they're wired that way. Number eight. According to the advertising slogan, what beer is known for getting its lime?
John.
John, I think, got there.
Corona?
Corona's correct, yes. Corona. Somewhere Corona is getting its lime, especially tonight on Cinco de Mayo. It's John 5, Lindsay 3, Funch, sound asleep.
Funch, you're pulling a Curtis here.
Number 9. 10 million people live in this Southern California county.
Lindsay. Funch.
Lindsay.
L.A.
L.A. is correct, yes. It's 5-4. This one is worth six,
right? Is this the last one?
It's worth six, yes.
Or five Funch, and a half, if you'd like.
You're on the board, Funch. This one's worth 5.5.
No, he's not on the board.
He needs
no, not
this
on the board. But you
this,
can get,
this is
get
the elusive
the
Curtis that Funches is going for.
Yes. Number 10. 3.3 million people live in this Southern California county.
John.
John.
San Diego.
That is absolutely correct. I thought you were going to go Orange County.
I thought about it.
But you're absolutely
Funches.
Correct. San Diego County.
Fun.
Guys.
Come on,
Funch.
Man. 0 for 10.
I'm a little embarrassed for you, Funch.
I probably wouldn't have got four of those questions, too.
You wouldn't even know
them? No.
Wow. All right, Funch. Better luck next week. All right, more Fast Track is coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Rolling on with Fast Track. Want to say hey to one of our most loyal listeners, Eli Lepler. Thank you very much for being out there, Eli. We appreciate you a lot.
Fast Track.
All right, guys. And now you'll when you hear this game, you'll know why I knew the Beatles had 20 number one hits. But it's time for Who Has More? I'll give you two choices. You tell me who has more. I'm letting you all know, Lindsay, you can play. Funch, you can play. Mason, you can play. That all of these are very close. None of these are lopsided. All of these are very close.
We'll
start with Lindsay. Who has more number one hit songs, Madonna or Whitney Houston?
I'm going to go with Whitney Houston.
Okay, Funch.
Madonna.
Mace, break the tie.
Madonna.
Madonna had 12 number one hit songs. Whitney Houston, 11.
I knew
Funches
it.
And Mace get the point there. Okay,
excellent.
Funch, we start with you. Who has more career wins, Clayton Kershaw or Fernando Valenzuela?
More career wins.
Funch.
Kershaw.
Mace.
Kershaw.
Lindsay.
Just to be different, I'm going to guess Fernando Mania.
You are smart that you did, Lindsay. This is amazing. Fernando, 173. Kershaw, 169. So only four wins separate him. If we play baseball this year, Kershaw will pass him this season. All right, everybody's got one. Mace, this goes to you.
Yes.
Who has more career rushing yards, Ezekiel Elliott or Todd Gurley? And I will tell all three of you, these two are separated by 1 yard.
1 yard.
Ezekiel Elliott or Todd Gurley, Mace?
Give me Gurley.
Lindsay?
I'm going to guess Zeke.
Funch?
Zeke.
Lindsay and Funches get the point. Elliott, 54.05. Gurley, 54.04. 1 yard separating. All right, 2 for Lindsay, 2 for Funch, 1 for Mason. Lindsay, back to you. Which play won more Tony Awards, Hamilton or The Producers? Lindsay?
I'm going to guess The Producers.
Okay, Funch.
Hamilton.
Mace, break the tie.
God, I think Hamilton's a trick. I'll go Hamilton.
Lindsay is the
trick
answer.
It was a trick,
answer.
It was
The
a
Producers,
trick, yeah.
12, Hamilton, 11. Lindsay, 3. Funches, 2. Mason, 1.
By the way, Producers can't hold a candle to Hamilton.
I still haven't seen Hamilton.
Producers is
good.
Fine. Hamilton's unbelievable.
All right. Who, Fudge, start with you. Who has more career assists, Chris Paul or LeBron James?
Woo. Wow. Chris Paul.
Mason.
I'm going to go LeBron.
Lindsay, break the tie.
I think it's LeBron.
Funches gets the point. Chris Paul, 96-07. LeBron, 92-68.
Mm.
Okay, the last one. Lindsay has three. Funches has three. Mason has one. So this is worth 2.5.
Got it.
And Lindsay has to go first. Oh, I'm sorry. We have two more. Okay, two more. So not yet.
I need one.
All right, well, I'll let you go first then.
Okay.
Who has been nominated for more Oscars, Tom Hanks or Kate Winslet? Mace.
Kate Winslet.
Lindsay.
See, I also think it's Kate Winslet, but wait, am I...
You're ahead, three. You have three. Funch has three. Mason has one.
I think it's Kate Winslet, so I'll just guess Tom Hanks just to be fun.
Okay, Funch.
Tom Hanks.
Mason is the only one who got it. Kate Winslet has seven, and Tom Hanks has six, which means it's three for Lindsay, three for Fudge, two for Mason, and this will decide it. Lindsay, which city has more people? So which has a higher population? And it's very close. San Antonio or San Diego? Lindsay.
I'm going to guess San Antonio.
Okay. Funch.
San Diego.
Mace, break the tie.
That closes me out, right?
Yep. So give me an honest answer.
I'll go San Diego.
Lindsay wins outright.
Yeah.
San Antonio, 1.5 million. San Diego, 1.4 million. Lindsay, you lived up not only to your name, but
the coin flip.
Coin toss.
The coin flip. Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
By the way, Kate Winslet. Here's my Kate Winslet story. So I go to a she annoys me. So I go to a
what? What's wrong
yo,
with you?
So annoying, so annoying. So I go to a Q&A for a movie called Revolutionary Road, and
with,
it's got
with Leo. The other one with, she did with Leo,
with Leo and Michael Shannon and Kathy Bates, and every single question that gets asked, Kate Winslet just dominates. You want to talk about? She was the James Harden of that Q&A. She would not shut up. And I kept saying, hey, what about Academy Award winner Kathy Bates? What did she think? What does Leo think about this movie? It was all
Leo
you
want
to talk
there.
About. Her efficiency rate was through the roof during this Q&A.
And
it was unbelievable.
That's why you're not a fan of Kate Winslet.
Yeah, that is exactly why. All right, wow. Funch, let's go with one more.
Fast Track.
All right, let's do something that has nothing to do with the coronavirus, or vaguely has something to do with the coronavirus. All right, most tattoo parlors are closed right now, but ink lovers have to make do with what they have or tattoo themselves. Now, there's a guy who calls himself the Lizard Man, who is making the social media rounds, showing off his modified body parts. The Guinness Book of World Records has pronounced him the person who carries the most weight lifted and swung from his earlobes. That's quite a gift.
What?
He has had books and TV shows dedicated to him. The 47-year-old who lives in Texas has undertaken many procedures to achieve his lizard looks. He got his teeth filed into razor-sharp fangs and braved an excruciating tongue-splitting procedure to become the Lizard Man. Now, another tattooed internet sensation is Amber Luke, an Australian model and social influencer. She's famous for getting her eyeballs inked a bright shade of blue. She said it felt like the tattoo artist grabbed shards of glass and rubbed it in her eye. She was blind for 3 weeks.
Oh, that sounds like a blast.
So what do you think is what drives these people to transform themselves into these weird things? What is it?
It's the same thing that drives people to go crazy on social media. They crave attention. That's the only thing that, you know, it's the whole concept of if you can't get a picture, nobody will believe you. It's people are absolutely, totally desperate for attention. It's the only thing that explains it, right? I mean, you have a couple of tattoos, but, I mean, you're not splitting your tongue.
No. Oh, God.
And your tattoos are in places where if you come in fully dressed, nobody's even going to know. It's more personal.
No, nobody's even going to know where they are. Exactly. They're private.
Yeah, you start doing stuff like splitting your tongue. You know, as a pierced tongue, though, you'd be shocked. This shocked me.
Jerry West.
No.
Okay. Just a totally
I'll give you guys
random guess.
Hall of Fame NBA player who you would not think has a pierced tongue, and who played in this century. Anybody want to guess?
Paul Pierce.
It'd be appropriate with his last name, but it's not Paul Pierce. It's somebody considered more mellow than Paul Pierce.
Carmelo?
No.
Grant Hill?
No. The answer is
Paul Gasol.
Tim Duncan.
Oh,
has
Tim
a Pierce.
Get out of here.
Look it up.
Wow.
Tim Duncan has a pierced tongue.
I know he has
By
a
the way,
tattoo
just
on his
tweet,
back.
I just tweeted out the picture of Lizard Man. I am just horrified by this.
I've seen that guy all over on TV shows on like Ripley's Believe It or Not and on like Jerry Springer and stuff. Like,
yeah,
I
and his
like
tongue is split. There's like a V cut into his tongue.
He's like
Who
a snake
would
tongue.
Do that to themselves? Who, honestly,
the answer
I think it's
is Lizard Man.
I also think it's like mental illness, isn't it? Is it like
well,
somebody
you know
got addicted
largely,
to getting tattoos?
Okay, you know who would largely benefit from a face tattoo? Like it would really seriously help his credibility? Sliwa.
Oh, Sliwa with a... Yeah, like the teardrop.
Right.
Just the little teardrop for Sliwa.
Exactly.
Would be a great look. Neck tattoo also underrated for Sliwa.
There you go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time. It's that time of day that we do some crosstalk. Alan Sliwa, live from his one-room apartment in Chinatown. No friends, no girlfriends,
no pets,
just him.
No
himself.
Windows.
No windows. It's like a prison cell.
No underwear. It was stolen out of his car.
Oh, God. That's right. It's Sliwa at sunset. Next.
Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right. It is time, people. Ladies and gentlemen, it's what everybody waits for every single day. It is 5:56 p.m. in Los Angeles, and it is time for Sliwa at sunset. Alan, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, Steve.
By the way, Sliwa, Mason put out a poll. He put it out 3 minutes ago. There are already 51 votes. Should Alan Sliwa get a face tattoo? Would it be good for his brand? 55% say absolutely.
And, you know, I'm
what do
in
you
agreement.
Think?
Well, I think Mace is already doing so much for the brand. And obviously, all he's doing is trying to look to kind of how to expand the brand, how to grow it.
Exactly.
Do we have any idea, Mace, what kind of a face tattoo would be?
It's funny you should say that.
Mm-hmm.
You should look at your Twitter account, right? Because... I've done a rendering.
Have you done it yet?
Have you sent it out yet?
It's going right now.
Okay. I can only imagine, without seeing it yet, what is in your mind, Mace?
Oh, God. Oh.
Well, you know, we are trying to make it a little more edgy, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is the way to do it, yeah.
Well, nothing says edge more than a face tattoo.
Oh, face tattoo is what it's all about.
People will think you're crazy.
It's out there now. And by the way, the poll is running strongly in favor. 55% say absolutely.
It's a black teardrop, three teardrops on your right cheek. I think it looks beautiful.
I think that is fantastic. Now, what do you think, Sliwa? This gives you an edge, man. What this gives you is street cred. It gives you street cred.
I'm actually just online right now looking for what biker clubs to join to. Like, I want to take it to another. If I'm going to do it, I want to do it right.
Yeah, I've got very rudimentary skills when it comes to creating images like this. I can I can do it a little. It's not great necessarily, but it's good enough.
ESPN spent 2 weeks, I think, on coming up with a logo. You did it.
Just like that. Just
you did
like
it
that.
In 7 minutes, and now it's a tattoo. You know, it's actually, this is very ironic here. Do you know who I'm having on later tonight?
I don't know. Is it already recorded?
Is it in the can?
It might be in the can. It might be in the can.
So Sliwa in the can later tonight. What do you got?
Do you know who Mr. Cartoon is? Do you know who that is?
Well, I thought he was going to be on last night.
So last week was Estevan Oriol, which is a partner of his, right? They kind of, one was a photographer. The other one was the tattoo artist. Okay. So Mark Machado. Mace, have you ever seen LA Originals on Netflix?
Yeah.
So that's the tattoo artist. He's coming on tonight. Mr. Cartoon. So the fact that you then decided today for me to get a face tattoo, that's very ironic here that that's all happening.
Hey, so Alan, I want you to ask, what's this guy's name?
Coming out Mark Machado.
All right, I want you to ask Mark what it would cost to get three black teardrops tattooed on your right cheek, and Mason and I will pay for it.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy to pay for it.
No, that's really the hesitation. It's going to come down to the finances of it. So it's a fair, fair question.
It's the expense.
Yeah. That's the only thing holding me back from the tattoo.
By the way, how much, if we offered to give you money to do it, like a dare.
Yeah, like how much money would it take?
Serious answer, Alan. How much money would we have to get to before you would agree to do it?
I don't think there's any scenario that would play out where I'm getting a face tattoo of three tears on my right eye, under my right eye.
If we gave you $1 million, would you do it?
Yeah, you get three. It's just three of them, right?
Yep.
Throw them on there.
Three black teardrops on your right cheek.
For $1 million.
$1 million. And you have to leave it.
I think anybody has to do it.
How long would he have to leave it on?
Oh, he'd have to roll with that thing for a while.
Like 10 years. 10 years that you in 10 years you can take it off in the year 2030.
$1 million.
$1 million, and you can get it removed in the year 2030. How old of a man are you, Alan?
37.
All right, so from age 37 to 47.
I have a face tattoo.
You have a face tattoo of three tears on your right cheek.
But you have $1 million.
But we would give you $1 million. Would you do it?
I think you have to do it. Don't you have to?
No, it's completely up to you.
It's $1 million.
Do if it's $1 million?
Yeah, Sliwa. Yes or no, first of all, and then I'll tell you you're not thinking this through. But go what? $1 million.
The one thing I notice is you have a lot of real estate on your head.
Right.
Okay.
Not as much as me, but you have a lot.
So I had another idea that came to me, and I kind of like this.
It just, forehead
it's,
tattoo?
It's funny. It just popped online right now. Stay strong on your forehead.
Okay, now, Alan.
Mace, what point today were you like, this is what I'm going to prep. This is what I'm prepping for today.
I never know what we're going to do, Alan. Yeah, never
Alan,
know.
Alan, if you do this, if you do this, if you tattoo stay strong on your forehead with the three black teardrops, that's $5 million.
That's $5 million.
So
you can retire on that, Sliwa.
That's nothing.
You would do
you
it,
guys.
And you have to do it. And you have to do it crooked, like Mason did it in the picture.
It is a little crooked.
So probably
just a little bit.
Probably not doing any face tattoos anytime soon. But I love the artwork. I appreciate
but
the artwork.
Alan, you didn't think this through.
Yeah.
All you would have to do. This happens in Hollywood all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You're forgetting about makeup. You could just you do this.
Yeah, and then you cover it up.
And then you cover it up. And
it's
you only have to
that.
Keep it on for 10 years. And
you've got
in.
$5 million.
I'm trying to get. Well, this, I think, John, what you're not thinking about is the street cred that we were talking about.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
When you want it, it's there.
I went
but
from street
want,
cred
if
to
you have
putting
to go
on
to,
makeup.
Like, the Laker game in a suit and you're working, you can cover it up.
it's just unbelievable that there's two photos now of me with tattoos on Twitter.
On your face.
Yeah. No, it's good, though. It's good, though. Again, no, it's about
it's
the
important.
Brand.
Yeah, no, this
now,
is
are you going to order in Mexican food tonight? It's Cinco de Mayo.
No, I don't think I will. I know I should. By the way, what is, did you guys do your, did you guys already talk about your favorite Mexican food restaurants here?
Yes,
yeah, we
did.
Actually got a lot of listener suggestions, too. We mentioned probably 10 of them.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever been to Guisados in Echo Park?
No.
No, somebody gave us a good place in Boyle Heights, though.
Yeah, good place in Boyle Heights.
El Tepeyac.
I'm a big Tito's Tacos. The only thing better than Tito's Tacos is two. Do you know that?
Only thing better than Tito's Tacos is what?
The only thing better than a Tito's Taco is mm-hmm. two.
Is two.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
That's the slogan. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. the slogan. Yeah, so not going to do anything for Cinco de Mayo. Not going to get the face tattoo.
When you guys were in San Diego, what did you think of the Mexican food out there? That's also great. Very, very good Mexican
Especially
food.
In Old Town. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very good.
I think Southern
great
California.
Great fish tacos mm-hmm. in San Diego.
I think
great
that's
fish
where,
tacos.
I think that's where Rubio's started.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Rubio's did.
Rubio's very, very underrated. I mean, I know it's not authentic Mexican food, but Rubio's tacos. I don't know if there are any in L.A., but... Man, Rubio's, I really loved when I was down there. That's some great stuff. Hey, what do you think of this idea that Mike Tyson could make a comeback? I saw a workout with him. There's a workout video going around, and it looks like he's all of a sudden, even though he's 50, is he 52? 54?
Didn't George, George Foreman win the heavyweight title at like 49 in his late 40s? I think he did.
If Mike Tyson fought right now, don't you think that's like a million pay-per-views immediately?
Is he fighting one of the main contenders? Is he fighting Deontay Wilder or, you know, somebody like that?
Oh, yeah. He would have
he
to fight somebody.
He would get killed.
He would get crushed by those guys. But
no, okay, no, wait a minute. Tyson Fury against Mike Tyson. You really think Mike would get knocked out?
Yes.
100%. I do.
Tyson
I think
Fury
he absolutely
knocked out Deontay Wilder. That was embarrassing.
And then who's the other guy, the guy from England that's...
Anthony Joshua.
Anthony Joshua. Now, he's got kind of a glass chin, right?
Right. He lost to... The heavyweight division is interesting right now. But I'm just telling you, in terms of stardom, is there anybody in box... You know, Muhammad Ali moved the needle unbelievably. He was the man, the guy. Don't you think Mike Tyson, in terms of boxers, is the second guy?
I'd buy it.
I would buy it. I'd want to see
it. I'd buy Mike Tyson, Tyson Fury. Tyson versus Tyson.
But would you want to see it? Like, don't you? I mean, 53 years old. It's not that it wouldn't
be
entertaining.
Here's the thing. Have either one of you guys ever boxed, even just as a... Well, Mason, I told the story last week about that crazy reverend that I had to call the fight after.
I did. It frightened
seconds.
The living hell out of me.
Well, No, the guy was on something.
Yeah.
But,
he was on meth or something.
I remember I literally threw a towel at him. I was like the honorary referee, and I saw him like wailing away, and he wasn't backing off, and he wasn't listening, and I like threw a towel at him.
I didn't cover up very well.
But, yeah, I'm sorry you got out of that less...
I was not Floyd Mayweather with my defensive moves.
No, but if you ever box just as a workout, after 3 minutes, it's the most exhausting workout you can do. You're just gassed. That's where I would worry about Tyson. I would worry that he wouldn't have the endurance to go more than 3 or 4 rounds. But in terms of his punch power, I think he would be there.
But think about it this way, John. He's only 4 years younger than you.
Yeah, I would get killed.
Right, but he's only four. Think about it. I mean, in real time, he's only 4 years younger than you. That's how old he is, that he's 4 years younger than you. I mean, I think he would get crushed by a legitimate opponent. Actually, Funch, tee this up.
He'd get killed.
Tee this up. Max Kellerman was on the Get Up this morning. He talked about Mike Tyson's potential comeback.
Not a real comeback, Mike. Not against top heavyweights. That's not going to happen. for a bunch of reasons. Number one, Mike is 53 years old. Yes, he's still fast and he hits hard, but not nearly as fast or hard hitting as he was when he was a young man. And the reason it's hard to tell is because at that level, it still looks fast and powerful compared to most everybody else in the world, which is true, but not compared to the top heavyweights who are now 30 and 40 pounds bigger than when Mike Tyson fought. 15 years ago, Greeny, Mike Tyson lost to Kevin McBride, who went on to lose. McBride lost six of his next eight fights because he started fighting better competition once he beat Tyson. Six of his next eight. But and Tyson was coming off a loss when he lost to McBride. That was 15 years ago. So the way this... Remember when Jim Palmer wanted to make a comeback? And it was like, Jim, you didn't retire because you chose. You retired because you couldn't get guys out anymore like you used to, especially. So why all these years later do you think you're going to come back? It's because you can't throw the fastball the same way. That's the kind of situation this is.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting stunt. He couldn't fight one of the big guys, but he could fight somebody. And honestly, just to watch him again, I mean, I'm there... You know, you guys are probably, Lindsay, you're too young. Funch, you probably remember it, I think. The night he bit Evander Holyfield's ear, that was one of the most surreal nights of sports that I've ever seen.
Because he couldn't figure out how to beat him.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, it was so bizarre. And he was, he would just strike terror into guys. I one time was in, and apparently he's got a podcast now. He's heavily into the weed business, and good for him. And he's making money at it. But one time I was, he walked into a Starbucks I was in, and I just was like, I'm just, he's Mike Tyson. I mean, it was intimidating to be in the same room with Mike Tyson because I'd seen him just destroy guys. I just think he was a gigantic star, and I would pay to see him fight even a potato can or a tomato can. A potato can or a tomato can, I would pay to see him fight. Did you ever see a potato can? Potato can.
Mace, one time Tyson told this story about the reason why he got into boxing was one reason. It's like he felt like he had so much rage in him, right? And he comes from a very tough background and just growing up. So he felt like every time he was in a boxing ring, he was like this animal that got just went out and went crazy. Like same thing that you're saying, your perception of him when you saw him at Starbucks. I don't know if I want to see him back in that. I remember him saying that his son at one point said, "Hey, Dad, I want to box." And he's like, "Hell no, you're not going to go box." The only reason why I did is because I had to, but I lived my life to get to this point, so you don't have to do that. I don't know if I want to see Tyson at 53 go back into a ring. Like, for his own health, do you want to see him go 6, 7, 8 rounds with somebody? Doesn't sound like a good idea.
Yeah, it sounds like it might not happen, but it would. Would you guys buy it?
I would buy it.
Yeah,
I would too.
I think it would be fascinating. I think it would be fascinating. Lindsay, you don't sound like you would buy it.
No, I would. I just think that, like, there's no way that anyone would agree to it unless it was somebody that, like, you know, somebody that's also in a similar situation, like an over the hill or retired boxer, you know, somebody that's legit but that like isn't a current, you know, like,
yeah, like a potato can.
Exactly.
Okay. Hey, you know what's coming up next? More with his new face tattoos.
I just confirmed the appointment.
Excellent. By the way, the station account retweeted it. I love this. I so love this. Sliwa at sunset. Mason and I are on 710 ESPN. In fairness, by the way, Alan does consider us to be friends.
Now, but it is a reasonable question. What kind of a setup is that for anybody?
Yeah, it's true.
And the answer is for Sliwa. It's pretty much
true. It's for Sliwa.
Yeah.
We love the guy. This is our favorite time of day. Sleewood Sunset.
Alan, is anybody coming on tonight besides the tattoo guy?
I'm going to call Mason at 7:30 about just his idea for the tattoos. I'll call John. You available at 8 or no?
No.
Okay.
So we can record something because
John's,
you know,
out.
I'm out.
Sleewood in the can is a very popular aspect
once,
of the
once
program.
Once we hit 6:24, done for the day.
Sean Windsor from USA Today on kind of this double standard with The Last Dance, and Maria Torres from the LA Times. Those would be the two that will join the show.
By the way, Molly Knight says no one should get a face tattoo. But the polling, the way the polling rolls now is 61% say absolutely, 39% say bad, bad idea.
How many votes?
We're only at 195. 195.
That's a very, that's a pretty good sample size.
Yeah, that is a
poll that's only
size.
Been out there for 15 minutes.
Yeah. All right. So they've announced some new 30 for 30s.
Yeah, and three of them. All right. So tell me which one of these you'd be most interested in.
Okay.
Okay. Lance Armstrong.
Yep.
The rise and fall of Lance Armstrong. Bruce Lee, the martial arts guy. Or Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, the year they each hit more than 60. I think McGwire hit 70 and Sosa hit 66. 1998. Which one of those? Armstrong, Bruce Lee, or Sosa McGwire?
Bruce Lee. All day. Empty your mind. Shapeless like water. Be water, my friend. I would be all over the Bruce Lee documentary.
Do you,
100%,
Alan, how about you?
Same thing. Same right. thing. 100%.
Lindsay, how about you?
I think Bruce Lee, but the Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa summer is probably a close second.
Yeah, I wonder how much they'll get into whether those guys cheated. Funch, which one for you?
Probably to Bruce Lee.
Okay, so do you guys, does anybody here know how old Bruce Lee was when he died?
I know he was very young.
Wasn't he like 58?
No.
Something like that? Nope. Younger?
Probably 30-ish.
What do you think, Funch?
I'd say like 35.
Yeah, I'm saying in his 30s.
32.
Wow.
How old?
32. No, just right. And have you guys ever seen Game of Death?
Oh, of course.
With Kareem?
With Kareem.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. Well, Enter the Dragon is like probably the greatest martial arts movie ever made. Any martial arts movie you see is some tribute echo of Enter the Dragon, which is just incredible. And Bruce Lee was, his philosophy on life. Well, I mean, the Be Water, My Friend speech is like the famous one. But his view of the world, his view of life, his view, his spirituality was part of what made him unbelievably unique as a human. The Bruce Lee one's great. The weird thing is the Armstrong one, I mean, I'll wind up watching all three, right? The Armstrong one is interesting, but there was a documentary a couple of years ago called The Armstrong Lie, which was fantastic. And I feel like I'm not sure if I can, if I'm going to see anything new in the Armstrong one.
Yeah, I think the Bruce Lee one would be very interesting.
Yes.
But to die at 32, and he was the most influential martial arts guy in the world at the time of his death, that's just crazy.
Were you going to read something, Sliwa?
Well, no. Lindsay says we have a sponsor now for Crosstalk.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
So Crosstalk, Mace.
Yeah.
On 710 is powered by PowerPro and CrossTrade Services. They got specials right now going. They do these power specials, $99 drain cleaning or $59 AC tune-up and safety inspection and temporary disinfectant, the HVAC system. Make an appointment today. Call 800-584-4116 or visit PowerProPlumbing.com.
You know how you know you're big.
Guys out here last week.
You know how you know you're big, Sliwa? It's when you get sponsored. When you get a sponsor.
I think just doing this Crosstalk in general, get a half-hour promo before the show. This is big.
You have officially arrived. All right, I wanted to ask one other thing of you, which is, let's see, do we have time for this? Sure,
yeah.
We got time. We got nothing but time. The Miami Dolphins are, and by the way, the NFL schedules are going to be announced on Thursday at 5 p.m. We expect them to start leaking tomorrow, right? Because they always we always start finding out games early before the actual
the opener has to be Tampa Bay at Kansas City, right? They play each other this year. That's got to be opening night, right? You get to raise the banner for the Chiefs and Tom Brady's first game as a Buck.
Is that historically what they do?
There's only been one year where they haven't had the Super Bowl champion open on that night at home. So you got to figure that's – and if they play Tampa Bay this year, that's the game everybody's going to want to see.
Oh, and they do play Tampa Bay this year. We checked that.
Yeah,
we know
what
teams they play.
Yeah.
We just don't know what order. So, yeah, that would be an unbelievable night. That would be Thursday night, September 11th. I still think Sunday
on
night –
September 11th, and it may be the return of sports.
Yeah, and Sunday, September 14th, I think is going to be at SoFi Stadium. And I, even if I have to wear a hazmat suit, I'm going. One of those
you might
Captain
have to wear
EO
a hazmat
suits we saw
suit
earlier. Yeah. So, Sliwa, there was a the Miami Dolphins have sort of laid out this crazy plan about how they might be able to have fans at their games. And we've actually got Tom Garfinkel, who is the CEO of the Miami Dolphins, who describes how this social distancing work might work at the new stadium.
Stadium, we would exit the stadium much like a church environment or something where each row exits and then so people aren't filing out all at the same time in a herd.
So obviously you'd be 5-6 seats apart from everybody. And you would have to have an appointment to walk into the stadium. Like I'm walking in at 1 o'clock. You're walking in at 1:10. You're walking in at 1:20. So that everybody could social distance the entire time. Do you think that works?
Man, that sounds like, by the way, it sounds like all these leagues, everything's going to be so complicated to figure out a way back. I don't know, Mace. I don't know from a consumer standpoint how long it's going to take for everybody to say, yeah, you know what, I'm good. Let me take that idea. Let me try to go to a game. I know you've said you want to get out when SoFi Stadium does open. You want to be one of the first that are there. But I think for a lot of people, it's going to take time. And that confidence isn't there. I don't think there's that much confidence right now to say you're going to go to a restaurant or a mall. I really think it's going to take time.
You actually make a really good point because we always talk about what people are allowed to do, right? We talk about you're going to be allowed to go to a game. You're going to be allowed to go to a restaurant. You're going to be allowed. The other part is, are people going to be willing to go to a game? Are people going to be willing to go to a concert or a restaurant or a movie theater? There's going to be that dual nature of it. It's what you're allowed to do and then what you're actually willing to do. You can open things up, but that doesn't necessarily mean everybody's going to come back. And that may be the case with sports. Some people, like if you're a 70-year-old guy, you may not be willing to go to a game for a while because you are at a higher risk. Whereas if you're younger, you might be willing to go. So it's going to be what you're allowed to do, but also what you're willing to do, I think.
I think that's going to be the biggest question. Just all these economies, when California opens back up and all of a sudden these, you know, the stages that they're going through, you can do it. It just doesn't mean that people are just going to come pouring out of their house and saying, oh, well, I want to go now and I want to go get my hair done or I want to go to a barbershop or I want to go to a movie. It's going to take time, Mace. I really believe it's going to take a lot of time.
Yeah. I'm going to do that, Alan. The minute they clear the restrictions, I'm jumping back in. My wife says she's going to take her time and ease back in. Mace says he's going to take his time and ease back in. The minute they lift restrictions, I'm going.
See, you're going to be my KBO. You're going to go out there and you're going to start doing stuff and I'm going to see how it goes for you. And then based on how it goes for you, that's how it's going to go for me.
Good. Happy to help.
Yeah.
John, I will say wherever you go, it's probably never been cleaner, right? And all these restrictions that they're, you know, going to have to abide by, it will be technically, it'll be safer than it ever was. I mean, think about the way we were doing things before because that was just the norm. It's not going to be the norm anymore.
Yeah. So, Sliwa, what do you got in the can tonight?
The tattoo guy.
Tattoo guy in the can.
Yep.
Is the LA Times reporter in the can?
And Maria Torres in the can. Sean Windsor live at 7.
You know what's nice about having things pre-recorded? You know the guest is going to show up.
Yeah, Daryl Morey tweeted us today that he was coming on and then wouldn't answer his phone.
Then he stiffed us for 5 minutes, I think just to taunt us. So it's nice when you got something in the can, you know it's going to happen.
Last week I had one on Friday where it just was going straight to voicemail. I'm like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Do it live.
All right. Well, Sliwa, have a great show. Again, I think the face tattoo, the poll, by the way, running 60-40 in favor of the face tattoo. Good for your brand.
So, yeah, no, definitely. I'm all over it.
So think that through. And we're back tomorrow, 2:55 sharp. Rich Kleiman's going to join us tomorrow, who is Kevin Durant's agent. And on top of that, Jess Mendoza, who's going to be doing some of the KBO games for ESPN. We're at 2:55 sharp tomorrow. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.